The next time that I can really recall being aware of them was in elementary school, maybe around fifth grade. I noticed I just kept moving my head, neck, hands, arms, shoulders. And when I would try to describe why I was doing it, it was a sensation of almost spider webs.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine. When I first started my recovery 11 years ago, I struggled through the textbook-like material on the subject. I wanted to make the addiction and the recovery from it accessible and relatable to more people by telling it in an entertaining way. Well, I'm super excited to announce I've released my first book, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict. If I can help just one person find a solution or at least realize they're not broken or alone, then writing this has been worth it. You can buy my book or audiobook directly from my site, secretlifenovel.com, or worldwide at every major retailer. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we partnered up with Ignited by Dr. Audie Jaffe to support mental health and those struggling with addiction. As you probably know, Mark and My Recovery is 12-step based. But we also know that it's not for everyone. Many of our guests have recovered from addiction through other programs and systems. This week, you can enroll in the Ignited Hero Program for free. With 14 days of free access to the Hero Program, you and your loved ones can kickstart your journey to breaking free from addictions, habits, and compulsions that no longer serve you. Check out the link in the episode notes and sign up for free. Now enjoy the show. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know, those deep, dark secrets that they probably want to go to their grave with, or those lighter, funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing. Really, the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. Today, my guest is Jack. Jack, I have a question for you. Dun, dun, dun. What is your secret?
Well, my secret is that I have a tick.
Oh, really?
Now, I don't know what the medical name for it is, really, because I haven't really researched it or anything, but I have a series of different sorts of ticks. And the reason why it's a little bit bigger of a deal for me is that I'm a TV and film actor.
So what are the ticks that you have?
Well, is it okay if I take you back to sort of the beginning when
please.
I first discovered it?
Yes,
well,
please.
Some of my very first memories are of tics. And that was that I recall there was a thing I would do where I would just sort of, well, my parents called it tug at my penis, but that wasn't really what was happening. I would just sort of pick it. And later on, I can explain what was happening there. And they would say, you know, stop playing with yourself is what they would say. I was four.
Right.
And the other thing that came at around the exact same time was I would snort like a pig. It sounded like this. And my parents would say, stop snorting like a pig. And those are some of my earliest memories. And then later, the next time that I can really recall being aware of them was in elementary school, maybe around fifth grade. I noticed I just kept moving my head, neck, hands, arms, shoulders. And when I would try to describe why I was doing it, it was a sensation of almost spider webs. In other words, I'd feel a sensation of like spider webs, although not literally. It's not like I thought there were actual spider webs. It's just
right.
The closest way I can describe why I was doing what I was doing under my neck, for instance. So if I felt this sensation under my neck, this deep desire to move my neck, to rid myself of this feeling, it would look like I would point my chin up to the ceiling and stretch my neck. Same thing with my elbows, the space between my thumb and the rest of my fingers. Anyway, it caused a lot of unnecessary movement. Then, you know, I started to go into acting and in college, I was still doing it and I was started to feel great shame and embarrassment. Mm. And
right.
When I would see other people do it, I would feel embarrassed for them and ashamed of it. And then I moved to Los Angeles and started working, and it was just constant anxiety on set as to not wanting people on set to know, really forcing myself to keep myself from doing it once the camera's rolling. And, you know, they start the camera rolling and there's, you know, maybe a minute before you act, sometimes before the director says action. And that was a particularly stressful time because I knew I probably wouldn't tick while I was acting. In that space right before he says action, I had a lot of anxiety, you know, and the anxiety made it worse.
So you notice that these things happen when you're overly anxious, they come out?
Well, I do think that they are triggered by anxiety, yes. And I was a very anxious person and spent, you know, 15 years studying self-help and New Age thoughts and Marianne Williamson. And I really have healed myself of my addiction to negative thinking. And that's really made the tics much, much less. However, I'm sure I still do them, especially, you know, like when a plane's going to take off. And sometimes if I'm just, well, whatever, they come up.
But I do want to go back for a second because you described a sensation of spider webs in your neck. What is that sensation? Like a tickly, you know, when you walk through spider webs,
tickles? Not at all. No, okay. Nothing like that. And it's not in my neck, but it would be considered outside my neck in the space between my chin and my Adam's apple. It's as if, how do I explain that? Gosh, I mean, it's not the literal sensation of spider webs. It's just this desire, the kind of desire you'd have to get rid of that web, but it's not because of the way it feels. And you know, it's a hard thing to describe, but here's something interesting. What I learned was the way to stop moving my body so much, and I learned this in, let's say, maybe ninth grade, I realized instead what I could do is touch the space under my neck to get rid of the web so I wouldn't have to point my chin to the ceiling. Or instead of having to move my entire arm to alleviate the annoying feeling in my elbow, I would touch my elbow, scratch it hard. It's almost as if you're wiping away the spider web that way. I still do it to this day in the space between my thumb and my pointer finger as a way to not move my hand in a way that, and the hand movements were so intense, this tick in my hand that, I mean, I used to be afraid I was going to give myself, what's that word when old people can't move their hands well?
Arthritis.
Yeah, I was afraid I was going to give myself arthritis. So I began instead just tugging at the skin at the bottom of my thumb as a way that to not actually move the whole hand.
And so your parents had saw this through your youth. Did they ever take you to the doctor?
No. No, they only reprimanded me and told me to stop that.
Wow.
And I didn't see it as a tick, really. I just saw it as this embarrassing thing I did. This embarrassing habit I had is what I thought of it for years and years and years and years. When I was young, a tick was Mel Tillis. Is that his name? Shit. There was an actor in the 70s who, when he would, he would say his line, but then when he'd act, he was normal. But when he talked, he had a stutter. I thought that was what a tick was. So I didn't really know what my thing was, except something my parents hated seeing me do. I mean, they weren't cruel, but they always said, stop that. And again, so going back to my very first experience with it, which was grabbing at my penis, it's obvious to me now what it was, is because I still get it sometimes, that spider web feeling on my penis was to sort of pull it away of whatever that is that I was feeling.
Interesting. And have you ever talked about this to anybody else or gone?
When I was in college, it's kind of interesting. My voice and speech teacher, he actually had tics, quite a lot of them. And I was back then still hadn't really wrapped my head around the fact that they weren't my fault. And so I just felt embarrassed for him the way I felt embarrassed for myself. And I remember one time I talked to him and the teacher said, you know, work with him on it. And I remember that one meeting, me and him sat down. He was an older gentleman and he tried to help me, but I didn't find his advice helpful. And it's possible he had something different than I had.
Right.
But my friends notice that I have it. So do I talk to people about it? Sure. But it's not something I lead with. And do you want me to share with you how I got past the negative feelings around it.
Yes, I do. I do, but before we get to that, I do want any of these secrets that we hide that were shameful for us internally, I always like to attach the seven deadly sins, not in the religious sense, but more in the character defect human sense. So here they are. And do any of these attach to this shameful secret you've been holding? He's smiling. We have pride, greed, lust, gluttony, envy, anger, and sloth.
Well, sure. I guess pride and envy a little bit in terms of why, how I held on to the punishing myself I was doing around the concept of my tics. So pride would be not wanting to feel different and wanting to fit in, and envy would be wishing I didn't have this and therefore certainly not sharing it with anyone and feeling like it was a dirty or ugly secret.
I mean, I get it. I felt the same way with my dyslexia. I, as an actor too, I hate going on set and not knowing that how to say the name of a character, and I have to spell it different. And I'm so shameful when I would hold the side so no one can see how I spell like couch or a word completely different. Yeah, I didn't know how to spell couch for the longest time because of my dyslexia, and this shame like sat inside of me. So I totally get hiding that as a child and, you know, seeing your parents be like, why can't you learn the alphabet? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we take our cue from our parents, and you know, as I said, my earliest memories were my parents saying, stop snorting, like literally my first memories. And they never looked into why. Wow. Ever.
Yeah, I would love to ask them why they didn't want to find out you were doing it. Have you ever spoke to them about it?
Not about why they didn't talk to me about what was causing it. I haven't. But you know, I'm from a different generation when your parents, you know, kids were to be ignored until dinner time. You know, it's like it wasn't a time of self what is that word? Self-reflection. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I do want to get into how you got through it and what you do. But who do you think keeping this secret has benefited, and who do you think it's harmed?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Benefited and harmed. Well, I mean, the thing is, the secret is such a personal thing. It's not acting out on anyone. So there's only going to be one answer. And I suppose me a little bit for both. Because as you know, as an actor, I would suppose an executive would always find a reason not to hire you, because the executive's jobs are to keep their job, right? Not to create great art. So I suppose not putting it on my resume might have been a good idea to protect myself. But again, it's not like I knew I never do it when I'm acting. Anyway, and then as far as that's protecting, and then you said hurting. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hurt myself for years because I didn't finally heal myself from it until I finally saw a therapist. And I think every kid in high school should be forced to see a therapist. We should be introduced at a young age.
I agree. I agree.
And I'm so happy that my friend convinced me when I turned 30, which is a time where a lot of people are facing a big change in their life, to see a therapist. And she helped me a lot. And then I went back when I turned 40. And it's important, I think, to check in with a therapist, because there are things you need to talk out, and there are things you need mirrored back to yourself in order to give yourself better understanding of who you are and where you are.
Do you remember what this therapist, like how she helped you move through it? Can you?
Oh my God, I'll never forget. It was one sentence and I was healed.
I've never heard that. That is a shocker. You tell me that sentence.
Well, like now I kind of want to hear you guess.
Oh God, no.
Fix that in one sentence, Brianne. Go try. I dare you.
Oh my God. No, that's so much pressure.
Okay. So it was so simple. She said to me, have you ever considered that maybe you have a sort of low case of Tourette's? And it was like the clouds parted and the sun came through. Because for the very first time, I considered the fact that it wasn't my fault.
Wow, yeah.
And it made absolute sense to me. I thought, yes, that is exactly what this feels like, completely out of my control, not an intense sensation, but a sort of low grade affliction of a Tourette's-like issue. And therefore it was never, I mean, I was born with it. It was never my fault. So clearly the issue was, and the shame came from me thinking it was, quote, my fault. And at the moment she said that, I had no problem with the fact I do it. I would now begin to just openly share the fact that I have tics with people with no shame. And when I see people with tics, I don't feel shame for them. I just feel a sort of brotherhood with them.
Wow. That just moved me so much, because the moment I remember my therapist telling me about my disease and what I've been carrying around, it also gave me this like I'm not broken. Like there's nothing not wrong with me.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the exact same feeling.
Yeah. And I find I do it so much less now. Well, part of that, as I said, maybe the fact that I overcame my addiction to anxiety. I had been studying self-help and the concept that we all have an ego on our shoulder that I was trained to sort of see as a vulture. Mm-hmm. That is the half of me that wants me to fail. And he says terrible things to me all day. And the idea is that you can learn to control your thoughts, to refocus your thoughts. And that's how you rid yourself of anxiety, by talking to your vulture and letting it know, I'm not interested in what you're saying. I don't want to talk to you, vulture, about the fact that I'm a loser or I'm no good, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm at a party and there's a psychic there. And The psychic is talking to my friend. And the psychic says this concept. She says, I release and destroy my need for that. And to me, that gave me the language to speak to my vulture in. Because the problem with how a lot of people teach, you know, affirmations is they tell us to tell our vulture, I am a beautiful, gorgeous, child of humanity. I am a success. And then you get into things like The Secret. And I personally don't think they work that well. But if your vulture is saying you need to be perfect, you just say to your vulture, okay, look, I want to be perfect, fine, but I don't need to be. I release and destroy my need to be perfect. And then your vulture goes, yeah, but you need, wait, what? And your vulture shuts up about whatever concept it's saying to you to make you feel anxiety. So I teach that because I teach acting, and I teach it to actors. It's the most important thing to learn as an actor, is to get rid of your anxiety or your blocks and issues around doing your art. And so I have completely trained my vulture. And so I just don't have any anxiety on set the way I used to.
Oh my God. I have to tell you, that's the first, I got your book because you give it free. And I remember before I booked a series that someone said, oh, you should read his book. It was a friend of a friend that we know. And when I read that, you go in and test for a series, it's so much pressure, right? And you already signed the contract and you're in the room with like two other, you know, people up for the part. And I remember reading that little section, and it really helped me.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. I remember exactly reading about the vulture and I was like, it really helped me like just kind of be.
Yeah. I release and destroy my need to book this job. I want to, but I don't know what's best for me. I could book this job and miss out on the opportunity I was meant to get.
Exactly.
Or I could die on set. You know, it's about understanding that we don't know what's best for us and that our vulture tries to convince us that we do. Yeah. Oh, I love to hear that. I'm glad that you're using them. Yeah. Can I share that with people, where that book is?
Yeah, go ahead, please. Yes, share.
Oh, okay. Well, it's on my website. It's a free ebook I wrote for actors, but you don't have to be an actor to enjoy the first third of the book, which is really all just about controlling your thoughts and focusing on love. And my website is jackplotnick.com. And you would just go, you click on the word teacher, and that takes you to my free book.
Oh, it's amazing. Honestly, I got so much. I think I highlighted it too. And I used to bring some of the pages on with me in my set, like on the back script. So please go get the book. And it's free, which is crazy. It shouldn't be free.
Oh, that's so sweet. That same therapist who healed me on this issue, I was talking to her about how I so wanted to do something to help people to feel good about who I am on this planet. And then I said, but I don't want to hold a dying person's hand. Mm. And she says to me, is that the only way to help people? And I went, oh my God, you're right. Like, I don't know why. It helped me to understand, do what you want to do, what you can do, what's right for you. And I realized that because I had overcome my addiction to anxiety and had applied it to my acting, that I had something to share with actors that would make acting fun and easy. And when it's fun and easy, you always book more. And yeah. So I wrote that book, and I do monthly charity lectures. And right now I'm teaching online all for charity for Stacey Abrams, Fair Fight 2020, which helps with to create election fairness. So anyway, yeah, I highly recommend thinking about, well, what could you do to feel good? And that's why I love what you're doing with this podcast.
Oh yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, this is for fun and for free for me. I woke up one morning and after, you know, writing the book and doing the HuffPost, it came to me. I was like, secret life. I want to help other people get through their secret, or the person that doesn't have a voice to say what they're going through.
Well, it's so powerful what you're doing. And that's why I'm so honored to be here, because doesn't need to be your particular secret. Just hearing other people's journeys with this, I mean, and it's such a beautiful addition to kind of this sort of trend we're beginning to see, where the world is, quote, you know, waking up.
Yeah.
And I think that what you're doing is priceless.
Thank you. And I do have one more question before you go. If anybody's going through this feeling of like shame, like I talked about my dyslexia, you talked about your tics, like what would be the advice you would give them?
Love yourself. Treat yourself with the love and acceptance you should have been treated with from the beginning, but that you may not have been, because our parents aren't perfect. You're your parent now, and you want to be a loving parent to your inner child. So do be aware that your inner child, or in other words, you back when you were 4 or 5, back when you were blameless, lives in your heart. And the way you talk to yourself is how you're treating your inner child. And secondly, to see a therapist, they are priceless. You know, obviously you want a good one. And I believe a good therapist listens and also is able to mirror back what they're hearing so that you can understand better your own thoughts about yourself.
Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your secret and your journey with us.
Oh, thank you. I love being here.
And if you want to be on the show, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time.